We turn now to God's Word as found in the prophet Isaiah, reading at the 35th chapter, the first verse. Listen for God's Word. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and bloom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fool, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of the Lord. I sort of like the idea of looking for chrismons, not only because it gives us a chance to explore different symbols for Christ. I hope you're following along each day in the Advent devotional, and today, as Lisa has invited you to do, you'll take time to make a chrismon or take the materials to make them at home. But I like the idea of looking because it seems to me that we spend much of this Advent season, much of this movement toward Christmas, looking for something and struggling to find it. Like the country western singer Johnny Lee, who sings of looking for love in all the wrong places, we are looking for that unknown something in all the wrong places. We go to parties and celebrations and we think, if I can just create that perfect moment, or have that perfect guest list, or that dress to wear, or food to serve, then somehow I won't miss my loved one that won't be here this Christmas. We look for that indescribable thing in the gifts that we give and receive. If somehow we can give the perfect gift, it will elicit the perfect response, and then everything will be okay. Or if we get that perfect gift, if they gave us exactly what we didn't know we wanted, but then we did, then surely it means that our special someone, or our spouse, or our child, surely it means they love us and broken relationships will somehow be healed. If we get everything we want, surely we'll be happy and content. If we have the perfect Christmas Eve candlelit service, surely the world will be changed. The pressure is on. We better make the best of this Advent Christmas season or else. And then Christmas is over. We're in the bleak midwinter of January. We feel emotionally drained and somewhat depressed. Despite all we did to celebrate the holidays, we still feel a bit empty. We examine ourselves and we wonder, what was that all about? What do we have to show for it? All that we did, and we don't feel changed. What we sought in all our festivities and activities has disappeared with the end of the year. But don't worry. Advent's only 330 plus days away. And we'll do better next time, won't we? Maybe that description does not fit you, but it seems to me like a lot of us spend our holiday season looking for something we cannot describe in a place we cannot find. If you know what I'm talking about, then listen to what the prophet Isaiah tells us this morning. Isaiah knows what we are looking for and where to find it. At least Isaiah knew what the Israelites were looking for and where they could find it. They were living in the barrenness of the desert, if not literally, at least in their souls. They're a defeated people. They feel totally out of control. Everyone else in the world controls them. They're searching for something more because nothing satisfies. They are a broken people. And Isaiah reminds them that they need to cling to the joy God brings to them. The brokenness, like the barren desert, will have flowing streams and blooming flowers. How? Because the God to whom they turn is sending a messenger to save them. They can lay claim to the joy of salvation, not because of what they can do for themselves, but because God chooses to save. As you make your chrismon, you will decorate an angel with a trumpet ready to announce. We see that and we know what the angel announces. The birth of Christ announced from the heavens to the shepherds in the field. It's good news, we're told, but not just good news of great joy. The joy that Isaiah offered to the Israelites arrives in Bethlehem to save the world. The joy of salvation beckons for us today. No matter what we look for, what we hope to find, what we seek intentionally or unintentionally, whatever you're trying to find can only ultimately be found in the joy of salvation that Christ brings. When we lay claim to God, whose self-giving love leads to the coming of Christ, when we accept that God did this for us, then we can begin to celebrate and experience the joy that transcends the holiday season. The joy of salvation we discover in Christ brings with it amazing opportunities. Isaiah has already prophesied about how the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame leaping like deer, the tongue of the speechless singing for joy. And now we have further proof, the arrival of Christ. In the Gospel of Matthew this morning, we read a revealing story about who Christ is. John sends word to Jesus, "Are you really the one?" And we're not sure if John is just asking this question for others or if maybe he's in a moment of self-doubt. We might be thinking, well, he's his cousin. Surely he should know who Jesus is. And yet in this moment he asked the question, "Who are you?" And Jesus says, "Look at the evidence. Lives are changed. Hope is given. Salvation has arrived. That's the kind of Christmas gift you can't shop and find. It's the kind of gift that arrives from God to us. God who sends Christ to save us and transform our very lives. When this joy becomes the foundation of our lives, we open ourselves up to being changed. Change that only comes when we realize that God loves us and enters the world to save us. A few years ago, I read an article in Presbyterian Outlook that a minister was sharing with others. It told about her being in the hospital during Advent. She started off, as we all might think, other ministers reading this, that she was in the hospital and everything was going on at church and she wasn't there. She was stuck. She had medical issues that kept her there. As she describes it, she was stuck with sounds of code blue instead of sounds of the joy of Advent. And as she lay there in the harshness of the hospital, she said she thought she heard Brahms' lullaby. She thought maybe the anesthesia was working a little bit too much. So she asked, "Did I hear Brahms' lullaby?" And she was told, as you might guess, that hospital had a tradition that when a baby was born, a lullaby was played over the speakers so that everyone would know of this announcement. She says she laid there in that bed and thought about a baby being born and remembered the baby who was born in Bethlehem. A child sent from God. The Christ child sent to save the world, including her, including us. Suddenly she was filled with joy in the midst of her pain and suffering as she laid claim to the joy of salvation. Advent draws us back to what God was doing in the coming of Christ and what God wants to do in your life. Christ brings us the joy of salvation. The grief and sadness we try to drown in our holiday celebrations cannot overcome the joy of salvation. The medical challenges we run from as we go from Christmas party to Christmas party cannot overcome the joy of salvation. The brokenness we try to buy off with our gifts cannot keep us from the joy of salvation. The lack of confidence we try to hide behind our pretty holiday clothes cannot keep us from the joy of salvation. The fear we drown out by singing Christmas music as loudly and as often as possible cannot keep us from the joy of salvation. Flowers blooming, streams flowing in the deserts. Believe it. The joy of salvation has arrived. God's loving and saving grace, so hard to imagine. Believe it. The joy of salvation has arrived. The chrismon stands before us with an angel announcing great news. Believe it. The joy of salvation has arrived. Amen.